The club football championships have reached the penultimate stage and we look forward to St. Patrick's Day. Two cracking games await us. This is Talking GAA. I'm Dave O'Grady. We're going to have all the hurling and all the football of the week gone by with freelance journalist Colleen Duffy and former Offaly great Roy Malone. Remember, if you want to contact the show, you can email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're delighted to be back in 2014. We've got a lot of action for you. Well, we're delighted to be joined by Offaly great Roy Malone, who's heavily involved with the live GAA results site, a terrific site for all results on the hour, every hour, no matter where you are in the country or around the world. LiveGAAResults.com is the place to be. Roy, thanks a million for joining us.
No problem, Dave.
Two cracking club games last weekend. We have our club championship final on Patrick's Day. It's going to be really exciting. But looking firstly back on St. Vincent's of Dublin, it was Tomás Quinn who kicked 1-8 as they beat Ballanderry 2-14 to 1-13 to book their place in the final. Mossy Quinn, Roy, he's really putting his hand up now, staking a claim and reminding the GAA world just who he is.
Yeah, well, I suppose, listen, I don't think anybody who follows club football and who follows Dublin club football in particular would have forgotten Tomás. Like, he's class act. Like, he's shown his class there again on Saturday. Like, the goal he got was in a flash. It was pure class, you know. Got the ball turned on a sixpence, and he had it in the back of the net before anybody knew, you know. He's a great bit of stuff. I suppose maybe the way Dublin forwards are and the way the game has developed on the inter-county stage, he probably isn't the biggest footballer in the world, you know. And he doesn't suit the kind of the style of footballer that Jim Gavin and Gilroy before him were looking for, kind of athletic types, big, strong, you know, strong footballers. Like, he's unbelievable class, and for me, he would get on any county team, you know. But he just doesn't seem to maybe fit into the mould of footballer that Jim Gavin's looking for at the minute, you
but
know?
Certainly playing at this level in the club championship, we've seen it last year with Ballymun Kickhams, for players like that to really stand out when a lot of people will be watching them play, it really will help his case for getting back in there with the Dublin team. But no doubt Mossy's first focus is going to be obviously on St. Vincent's, and you know, they have got quite a strength in depth, it's probably fair to say. They were missing their captain, Jer Brennan, and that was quite a blow for them, I think. But no doubt they regrouped and they got the job done.
Yeah, well, just going back to Mossy, I suppose, listen, he's kind of left the Dublin manager with no option, in my opinion, to call him in, you know. He certainly has put his hand up, and listen, I think you'll probably find that he will be drafted into the Dublin squad. Just going on Vincent's themselves, they've been all through the kind of Leinster campaign, and now in the All-Ireland semi-final there on Saturday as well, they've been missing players through suspension and through injury all during the year. Dear McConnelly, I think, was missing for a couple of games, and Brennan was missing for a couple of games earlier in the championship also through suspension and whatnot. And they've come through it, like, you know, with not a huge amount of trouble, you know. They've got to the All Ireland final, missing all those guys, and it certainly shows that they have a great strength and depth there in their squad, you know.
Yeah, a long way back for Ballanderry. They kept battling back in the game. I think the closest they actually came to St. Vincent's was 2 points. But Ballanderry, who they were the All-Ireland champions in 2002, it will be disappointing for them considering they had such a good club run. They'll want to bounce back now going forward for next year. But at the same time, we talk about it a lot when there's clubs that get so far. A semi-final isn't where you want to go out. You'd rather get to the final and give it everything, but it really knocks the wind out of you, and it might take those players in Ballanderry a couple of years to, or a couple, maybe a season or two, to get back, get their heads right again, maybe, Roy.
Yeah, well, especially I suppose they have the little small club that seems to win Ulster championships up there for Sport in Cross McGlen to contend with, you know. So, like, it's really, really tough to come out of Ulster, you know. And when you do get a chance like that, like they did this year, you know, you'd kind of be hoping to take that chance and go all the way. I actually kind of fancy the top Ballinderry might get through that game, even though, you know, Vincent's are a serious side. But I just had a feeling that they might get through it. But they kind of from the time that Mossy Quinn got that goal early on, they kind of never really got back on par. I don't think they went ahead at any stage after that, you know. And they always seem to be chasing the game a little bit. I can't remember the corner forward's name for Ballinderry, blondie haired chap. He actually kept them in it. You know, he really dragged Ballinderry into that game for long periods, you know. And they always just seemed to be kind of, you know, just couldn't quite get there. And I suppose, yeah, it might knock the stuffing out of them a little bit when it takes so much effort to get that far. You know, I've seen it myself with my own club Road. Any year that we got to it, we were beaten in three Leinster finals, and any time we got to that Leinster final, the next year we struggled to get there again, you know, the following year, because it kind of does knock the stuffing out of you a little bit, and it's you know, it's a hard thing to get over, you know. And I suppose it'll be a test of their mental strength and a test of maybe how badly they want it maybe next year, you know.
Indeed.
Whether they can come back or not.
Indeed. We wish Ballinderry the very best of luck going forward. And, of course, St Vincent's will line up against Castlebar, who overcame Dr Crokes in Portlaoise there. And I think the major talking points from that game was Colin Cooper, who's now been diagnosed with a cruciate knee injury. Doesn't look good at all, Roy, for Colm. It's very disappointing for a terrific player. I mean, we've seen Colm in all the AIB ads promoting the club championship, saying this was the medal that he doesn't have, and it meant so much to him. And I think he had been playing so well up to the point where he went down holding his knee. It's really a shock across the whole of the GAA.
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, that was such a turning point in that game. You know, mentally, for the rest of the guys on the Corks team, looking at your talisman going off like that so early in the game, would have a huge effect on you. You know, it just knocked the wind out of our sails. And Mitchell's capitalised. You know, now who's to say that maybe if Gooch was on, that maybe they wouldn't have won the game anyway. But you'd have to expect that Gooch would have had a big influence on the rest of that game, and maybe things would have been different if he'd been on the field. It's so sad to hear. I always cringe any time I hear of any sportsman, hurler, footballer, or professional sportsman, of hearing about a cruciate knee ligament injury, because it's an awful injury. It's just a nightmare for sportsmen. You automatically know that, you know, you're 6 to 9 months, you know, out of whatever sport that you're playing. Like it's so sad to hear. That's like, I mean, it's going to be such a loss. Colin Cooper last year, what he brought to the championship.
Yeah, like unbelievable.
Even though Kerry were beaten at the semi-final stage, I was lucky enough to be at the Dublin Kerry game in Croke Park this year, and you know, it's just a joy to watch him play. And
game
and
of the decade, it really was a fantastic game.
Oh, absolutely brilliant game! And you know, football supporters are going to be deprived of looking at Colin Cooper this year, and like he's probably getting to a stage of his career. I think he's 31 or 2 at the minute,
yeah.
Maybe. And you know, a cruciate knee ligament injury at this age of his career is the last thing he wants. Is he captain of Kerry as well this year?
It's not just the recovering from the injury, it's actually getting back up to speed, which takes a long time if you're playing inter-county football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard enough, you know, once you go past 30 to maintain the fitness levels and that you need to play county football these days. Throw in a cruciate knee ligament injury at that stage of career, you know, it's all so sad. And it's so disappointing for him, you know. I'm sure he's heartbroken at the minute, you know, because it's going to be a year out of his football career, you know. And he plays football because he loves it, and you know, you see that the way he plays football. He really loves his football, and you know, he's going to miss it. And it's so sad for him, and it's so sad for Kerry, and it's sad for football supporters around the country that we're not going to get to see him play this year. And you know, that's just the way it is, unfortunately. But I suppose, listen, Castlebar and Mitchell's, where I'm sure they'll have sympathy for him. They're in an All Ireland final now, and they're looking forward to St Patrick's Day. And St Vincent's are going to be favourites, and they're probably still going to be the underdogs. And that's a brilliant way to go into an All Ireland final.
It is indeed, and we wish Colm Cooper the very best, a very speedy recovery. You mentioned there about Castlebar, and what was very funny is I think Taoiseach Enda Kenny was in the Castlebar dressing room at halftime, and whatever he said, certainly it certainly kind of worked for them. But it's kind of reminding me, we're lining up a St Patrick's Day final between Castlebar and St Vincent's Roy, a Mayo team against a Dublin team. Surely Mayo football deserves to get over the line this time.
I suppose it's the old cliche. You deserve it when you get it. You know. I can't see them beating that Vincent's team. I'm sorry to say, I think it's going to be another heartbreaking All Ireland final for a Mayo team in Croke Park. I think St Vincent's have just got too much strength and depth. There's too much strength all over the field. Fennell at midfield, Jared Brennan centre back, Dermot Connolly, Massey Quinn. You know, I just think they have it all over the field, and I don't think Mitchell's. Listen, maybe they'll go out and prove me wrong, but I just don't think they have the strength and depth that Vincent's has to take them, you know. Although, I suppose they did go out even after Enda Kenny speaking to them at half time and won, you know. So maybe they've got more in the tank than I can see.
Well, if Enda Kenny is meeting the players before the match on Croke Park's pitch, he might whisper a few words of encouragement to them, which might go their way. But it should make for a very interesting final to see if Castlebar can handle the firepower of St Vincent's. Just before I let you go, Roy, I have to turn my attention to hurling and ask about your own county, Offaly. And Laois were rated 7-1 outsiders by a lot of bookmakers. They were given little chance of causing an upset when they went to O'Connor Park last Sunday. But what happened? They certainly came out, and it's quite a disappointing defeat from an Offaly point of view. I don't think many people were expecting that.
No, but I suppose it's early in the year, and Laois had a fantastic year last year. They ran Galway very close in the championship and had a good year. They made a lot of progress last year. Offaly are missing a good few of the regulars too. But I think that I have to bring up the issue of I'm not a hurler. I don't play hurling myself. I'm not from a hurling part of the world, but I do support Offaly hurlers. And just Gerlach Dan's comments on Saturday, I think were need to be addressed here. What Gerlach Dan said on Saturday on the paper was an absolute disgrace, in my opinion. Now, and it's not because it was directed at awfully hurlers. It was because the type of headline grabbing sort of profile building stuff that he was saying, it was just purely for shock factor,
yeah.
Just to get some. Get headlines, you know, to generate headlines and generate a bit of a profile, more profile for himself. And the whole argument that's going on social media about, you know, him accusing amateur hurlers, you know, of being fat, and nobody should be allowed to call anybody fat, especially like amateur guys trying to, you know, go about their play hurling just because they enjoy playing hurling.
Exactly,
you know,
and the commitment that a lot of these people put into the game, Roy, it doesn't seem very right to be having a go at them in the sense that, like, a lot of these people, it is their lives, really.
Yeah, absolutely, but like, nobody should be allowed to call anybody, and not a hurler, not a footballer, not, like, you know, if somebody said to you someday, God, you're ugly, or you're this, or you're that, you know, you wouldn't like it.
No,
you know, it shouldn't be allowed. And he used his platform on the Star to personally insult guys, you know, to go out and call guys fat. It's an absolute disgrace, and he should come out and apologise for it. Nobody deserves that. And nobody has the right to call anybody that, especially not on national media.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, it's one thing, Roy, about saying you're a dreadful hurler, you couldn't puck a ball to save your life or whatever, but when you start...
Absolutely,
yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, you know, or like... I know what he was trying to say in the article, but the language he used and the personal insult that he inflicted on guys it's just completely out of order. And he should be sacked from Star from that. There's absolutely no doubt in my opinion. That's a disgraceful thing. Like, nobody should be allowed to get away with that. And like, you know, what he was trying to say was maybe they were unfit. Say guys are unfit. Say that their training is you know, maybe dated, or you know that it needs to be revamped, or their strength and conditioning and this and that, or they just look unfit. Like, nobody would mind that, but going out and insulting guys personally, it's just out of order, Dave. I'm on a bit of a rant here and rambling a little bit maybe, but you know, I just feel that it was you know. Right, the results at the end of the day, maybe people say, oh God, he's right, but he's not right. You should never be allowed to say those things. You know, it's not about hurling, it's not about football, it's not about sport. That's just plain, just insult.
Yeah, it's interesting that they hire him to write about hurling, and you get other stuff like that that might not fit the sports pages of any newspaper, it's probably fair to say.
Yeah, well, especially in a time where mental health and everything, and going on a little bit again, where, you know, guys are affected by that. You know, some guys, you know, they mightn't like to admit it because it's, oh, well, you know, it's kind of, it might be shown as weakness, or that guys would be, that if you admitted being affected by that. But guys inside would be affected by that, you know. And, you know, in a time where mental health issues and all that sort of thing is so prominent, you know, I think that it shouldn't be allowed, and something should be done about it.
Okay, well, it'll remain to be seen what happens if there is an apology issued or that. Just before I let you go, Roy, the Offaly hurlers, you reckon they'll be able to pick themselves up? It's early in the season, and it should be it's good to get these defeats out of the way, they say, at this stage.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a tough division to get out of. You know, you've got Wexford in there, you've got Limerick, I think, as well. You know, it's going to be a tough division to get out of. It's a bad start, but it is early days, and you know, pitches are heavy, and you know, I was surprised actually that game went ahead at all at the weekend, because you know, the amount of rain that fell in the Midlands was crazy. You know, pitches are heavy, and hurling it's a kind of a different game at the minute.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of being down at a early Leinster championship match between Dublin and Westmeath in a very, very wet Portlaoise, and I firmly believed that the match shouldn't have gone ahead, but Westmeath anyway got a win that day, and you know, then it resulted in Dublin taking on Westmeath in Offaly in a relegation fight at the end of the season. But going back, that match possibly maybe shouldn't have gone ahead. So as you said, Roy, the weather does play a key part in these games.
Yeah, and obviously you are missing a few guys. Shane Dooley still injured there. He'd be their main tallies man, you know. You know, so it's the off here. You know, I'd be optimistic that Brian Whelan will get a tune out of those off guys before the end of the year, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, Roy, thanks a million for joining us on Talking GA, and we look forward to doing it with you again very, very soon. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Dave. Take care.
If you'd like to sponsor, advertise, or simply get involved with any of the shows on talkingsport.org, drop us an email to dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. Well, I'm delighted to be joined by the GAA correspondent that gets himself around the country. I think he's covered all four corners of Ireland and around the world at this stage. Colleen Duffy, thanks for joining us on Talking GAA. Now, before we go into the mainstream matches, I have to say congratulations to yourself and your own county. I know Seamus Cheddar Plunkett, he praised his side's fight in their surprised win over neighbours Offaly. He stressed improvements were to be made, but my God, what a start to the year. Terrific for Laois, pretty bad for Offaly.
Two small na hybra, good starts half the battle, as they say, Osgoelga. And I have to say, I was thrilled but not surprised by this win. I know the wider world would say, oh, it's a massive result and everything else. Yes, it's a big result. But I think I said it before to you on the podcast, maybe last year, that Laois hurling is going from strength to strength. I was talking about the minors getting to their first Leinster final since the early 90s. And of course, previous year, the under 21s done that as well in the Leinster under 21 championship. So this has been coming for a while. What I suppose is more interesting to a certain degree is there's a lot of talented players not available to Laois for one reason or another. A man who got a Player of the Month award last year, Cathal Healy, he's travelling at the moment. Zane Keenan, unfortunately, work commitments are going to keep him out for a while. He did play some games in January in the Bordnamona Walsh Cup and Shield, but unfortunately he won't be available for the foreseeable future as well. We've got an awful lot of guys who were in Australia or have been in Australia. There was 12 or 13 players won an All-Australian title with Sydney Shamrocks last year. One of those, John Purcell's back, involved with the Laois squad at present, and is certainly making an impact as well. But this may be a surprise to the wider world. It's not too much of a surprise, I have to say to myself. And really, it's results like this, which certainly buoy Laois and counties like Laois well. And it's nice to be on top of the Allianz Hurling League Division 1B, even if it is only after round one, and a long, long way to go, of course.
Long, long way to go indeed, Colleen. My God, they sound like the Leitrim of hurling, with so many players outside of Ireland going travelling, working, being in Australia and that. But hopefully it will be a big year for Laois, a terrific hurling team, as you said. It's just their day will come, hopefully. Now, let's go right to the top. All-Ireland champions Clare, they got their league campaign off to a winning start, the perfect start, as we were all expecting a huge fight back from Kilkenny after their disappointing championship last year. But fantastic win for Clare. I think Davy Fitz was very surprised with this one, Colleen. He was a little bit starstruck that his team weren't just a once-off All-Ireland winning team. They actually continued their great form right into the start of the league.
I suppose with some surprise, I suppose he did feel 12 of the side that started last year's All-Ireland final replay win. But it just goes to show you, I mean, there's only a point in this game. And in reality, if you look over a lot of the results of the weekend, pretty close encounters. I suppose Galway's win over Dublin, there was a bit more in that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But really, Clare and Kilkenny, I mean, this one was really down to the wire. Colin Ryan, again to the fore, one goal and 9 points. An outstanding player. He was outstanding, one of the leading scorers in the championship last year, if not the leading scorer, in fact. And Henry Shefflin, he featured in the Walsh Cup semi-final for Kilkenny. He was absent for the final, but really good things come with age. And I suppose we saw with Mossy Quinn in the football and Vincent's on Saturday how the cream always rises to the top. But on this occasion, Clare just sneaking it in the end. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the league. I mean, if we go on what we've seen over the weekend from Saturday night, the opening games, right through to Sunday afternoon, right across the divisions, nothing's clear cut. And, you know, Clare and Kilkenny, I mean, Kilkenny of Tipperary next weekend, that game's been confirmed for Nolan Park, despite the fact that the roof suffered a bit of storm damage there recently in the old stand. But certainly, the Hurling League, the Allianz Hurling League, continues to impress. And in reality, you know, it's interesting, I suppose, when you see players like Colin Ryan scoring 1-9, Henry Shefflin equaling that tally with 12 points, and you would say, right, most of that was from frees, but there were some excellent scores from play right throughout the park. In fact, all of Clare's other scores came from play, and all of Kilkenny's other scores came from play. So it was just Shefflin and Ryan from place balls, dead ball accuracy, but a lot of other good players on view in Cusick Park on Sunday. And certainly a great game to have live TV coverage of as well.
It certainly was, Colleen. Cause for concern for Cody, maybe? Or is that just being crazy? It's very early days.
Well, I did say a good start was half the battle when it came to Laois. I don't think Brian Cody will be losing much sleep. I mean, when you look at it, you know, there was a point in it at the end. I mean, okay, it's a results-driven business, to borrow a sporting cliche, and everyone wants to win. Every point is vital in the Allianz League, in football or in hurling. And, you know, you'd hope to get a victory. But a performance like that from Kilkenny away from home, I suppose some people will be critical of them, but the Cats always ship the criticism. You know, you'd expect them to be there or thereabouts the end of August, maybe into September yet again. League titles are nice. You also have to look at a couple of names that are on this Kilkenny side that started on Sunday that maybe are a little bit unfamiliar to some. The likes of John Joe Farrell, he's been very impressive in college's action in the Fitzgibbon Cup in the last couple of years. He's been there in second level colleges as well. He's one of those Kilkenny players who are one to watch, I think, for 2014. You've got Walter Walsh there, the hero of two seasons ago in the All-Ireland, finally chipped in with 2 points on Sunday. When you've players like Jackie Tyrrell then and Aidan Taggy Fogarty, Tommy Walsh coming off the bench, you know you're in solid ground. And I really think that, you know, it may be a 1 point defeat and it may be a loss. Kilkenny may be hurting a little bit, but that hurt will quickly change to positives, I'm sure, from Brian Cody this week.
They will indeed, Colleen. Last year's semi-finalists crushed by Galway, 28 points to 112. One-way traffic all the time. Conall Keeney sent off for a second yellow card in the 42nd minute. What happened to Dublin, and are Galway just that good?
I think Galway have a point to prove, maybe, after relatively disappointing 2013, I suppose, from their perspective, after a superb 2012 that, you know, finished in heartbreak in that replayed All-Ireland final against Kilkenny at Croke Park. Galway are out to prove a point. You've got two teams here, I suppose, who are in interesting circumstances. You've got a Galway team who practically won an interprovincial semi-final on their own, an M. Donnelly interprovincial hurling semi-final. They did have Sligo's Keith Raymond and Mayo's Kenny Feeney in the squad, but neither featured in that semi-final win over Munster, a fancied Munster side at that. So they had momentum coming into this game. I suppose Dublin defeating the Bournemouth Walsh Cup final at Croke Park a few weeks ago, you know, Anthony Daly felt it was a half-baked performance in Pearse Stadium on Sunday, and perhaps it was, but you know, the importance of winning home matches, it can't be underestimated. And you know, again, I mentioned new players for Kilkenny, if you like, and starting to come to the fore. You know, the likes of Cathal Mannion, he hit four excellent points in the first half for Galway. He's a player where many haven't been talking about him. A chance to shine, if you like. Niall Healy, excellent player. 5 of his 6 points came from open play. Conor Cooney, 6 points, 5 from frees. But, you know, just 6 of Galway's 28 points came from place balls, and some superb scoring right throughout the pitch from David Collins in defence, Hart, Porrick Brantney, the DCU student, Flynn, Mannion, Healy and Glennon up front as well. So, you know, you have to remember Galway without the Portumna contingent, Galway without their captain at the moment, Joe Canning as well. From a Dublin perspective, I don't feel that this is totally bad for them. I think they need a shock or two. I mean, the other thing is kind of, I suppose, coming into my mind as well, and I mentioned this when I was chatting to Anthony Daly recently, it's what I call the second season syndrome, not in the case of it being second season as a manager, but what seems to have happened Dublin is they can't put two seasons back to back in the last couple of years. They've been flying, then the next year they've just been near but no cigar.
That's a very fair point, Colleen. I think it's going to be really difficult. We've seen Dublin arrived at the top table there a couple of seasons ago, only to be defeated and had a miserable championship campaign, it's fair to say, that the following season. What does Daly do?
It's hard to know. They have the talent. I mean, you look at someone like Danny Sutcliffe didn't score for Dublin there against Galway. He's a prime player. You mentioned Conall Keeney there earlier in the introduction to this match. On the other hand, you've got the likes of Alan McCrabb came on, scored 4 points from frees. Dotsy O'Callaghan, 3 points, all from play. And in fairness, the Dubs, you know, I saw them against Leinster last weekend in the interprovincial semi-final, And, you know, the likes of Paul Ryan very much on fire. I think actually on Sunday it was Paul Ryan's first game of the year not to score a goal in. He smashed two in fact against Ulster in that Martin Donnelly semi-final in the Interprovincial. And every game in the Walsh Cup he got a goal from a dead ball. He got two in one of the matches as well. So, you know, that's the thing, I suppose, that Dublin only managed to sneak a goal on Sunday, where they've been managing more than this along the way over the last while. And maybe that's one thing, I suppose, that's kind of hurt them a little bit, that, you know, that goal scoring threat didn't seem to be there as much on Sunday. But I suppose one thing which is certainly a positive, Sean Ryan came on and scored that 59-minute goal. He had only been on the pitch literally a minute when he got that goal. And after playing Fitzgibbon Cup for DIT during the week, he was in DCU and he impressed. And again, he'll be in action this week for DIT in the Fitzgibbon Cup. You have to remember, for some of these players, it's pretty busy at this time of the year as well. So all of that has to come into the mix. I think in the latter maybe two or three games of the league for all counties concerned in hurling and football championship, the distractions, if you like, will be out of the way. Players will be more focused on the senior action. In a lot of cases, okay, the under 21 football will be going on, but in a lot of cases, you'll be seeing more of what you'd expect closer to the end of the league. But I suppose that's only going to be obvious when the championship is very much only going to be around the corner at that stage.
Yeah, onwards and upwards for Galway. We'll see what happens with Anthony Daly's Dubs. Can they lift themselves as they need to do playing in Division 1? Of course, they were in Division 2 last year, which was really a good performance, but they're at the top table with the big boys now, and it's time to really live up to the hype, I suppose. Second half goals from Seamus Calnan and goalkeeper Darren Gleeson helped Tip beat Waterford 2-13 to 16 points at Semple Stadium. Colleen, a cracking match, well, a cracking tie really, a close game, 3 points in it. Tipperary had a pretty poor first half display, I'm led to believe, but they did enough just to get the job done. What did you make of this one?
It was quite interesting game, I suppose. Waterford were looking for their first win since 1998 in the Alliance Hurling League at Semple Stadium over Tipperary. So there's a lot riding on this one in some respects. I suppose that wasn't a stat that was probably spoken about in the dressing rooms, in fairness, before this game. But I honestly thought that Waterford might have snatched this, but certainly Tip came good in the second half. You mentioned the goals, and goals win games. I know it's cliched. Calnan with 1-4 in a 14-minute spell, and then Gleeson, the goalkeeper, with that second goal in stoppage time. Very bizarre score, it's fair to say, and that was pretty much the match winner. But, you know, it's early doors as well, and Tipperary, I suppose, coming through a redevelopment phase somewhat. If you'd look at that starting team list from last Saturday night, there's a couple of familiar names, obviously, but there's a couple of new names in there as well that many people wouldn't be familiar with too. So it's early doors for Tip, but, you know, as I said earlier on, home wins very much important, like the one Galway got on Sunday. And, you know, this is going to stand Tipperary in good stead. But there's bigger tests ahead. I suppose Waterford with a new manager as well. Time to settle. But again, I mentioned the college's action. Waterford IT in action this week in the Fitzgibbon Cup. One of their stars, two of their stars, in fact, in the run so far, Pádraig Mahoney and Jake Dillon in action for Waterford on Saturday night. Busy times again. Pádraig Mahoney scores 9 frees, 10 points in total. Jake Dillon with just a point. It's busy action. And you begin to wonder how lads can manage it maybe at this time of the year. I mean, if I just give a football analogy for a minute, Eugene Keating, 6 points in the Interprovincial semi-final win for Ulster over Leinster at the weekend. He's facing into McKenna Cup final action on Wednesday night against Tyrone. And then on Sunday, he'll have an interprovincial football final then against Connacht as well.
And they say it's an amateur sport.
Well, I was talking to somebody tonight, an inter-county player, about this, and they were saying, well, February's my busiest time of the year. Well, it's one of mine, actually, as well, but certainly for the inter-county players around the country. And if you're in college's action, and there's Cadbury Under-21 Championship beginning in Leinster this Wednesday night as well, it's busy.
It's busy and it's crazy. You just mentioned Waterford there, Colleen, and Derek McGrath's first league game ending in defeat. They rued a tally of 18 or 13 wides, including 8 in the first half. That'll be something that Derek McGrath is going to have to work on with his team, and hopefully they'll be able to take a few positives. The fact that they're creating the chances, they're getting in the right positions, but they're just not scoring them.
Yeah, and the quality of the floodlights, in fairness, in Semple Stadium are top notch. But this is kind of something that I always kind of come around to when it comes to the hurling league under lights. And, you know, Slither is a small ball. It's okay for Gaelic football. But I kind of get the feeling that, you know, in some cases, you might be seeing a lot more of poor shooting, that standard happening when it comes to the floodlight games. I haven't the stats exactly, but it's one thing that if I get a bit of time, I'd certainly be interested in doing some research on, because if you look at it, you know, 8 points to 5 ahead at half time, they were taking good scores as well. And as I mentioned, if you look through Waterford's scores as well, you know, as I was talking earlier on about scores from play, if you take away the 9 points Pádraig Mahony got from frees, everyone else got scores from play. 2 for Philip Mahony, Kevin Moore in a point, Jake Dillon, Morris Shanahan and O'Sullivan with a point each, all from play. It's quite a statistic that when you get into broad daylight, you know, obviously there's other factors at play. I mean, wind and everything else. I mean, we did have bad weather over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, at the weekend, I don't think it was too bad. But I'm just wondering, hurling under floodlights, not questioning the actual strength of the floodlights, but more questioning that when you look up into the air, you're hitting a ball into the air of that size, how hard it is to judge it versus broad daylight.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult as well for the spectator watching it from the comfort of their sitting room couch. I know that brings me to the next game in Porky Ring, watching the Limerick-Cork match that finished 17 points apiece. Cracking game, but as you say, it can be quite difficult on the spectator at home trying to watch it on television, because one, I think there's a point to be made about the cameras not being the best at this time of year. I don't know why that always seems to be the case, but maybe they're not as quick. They're not as quick to follow the action like they would be, say, a championship match. But nevertheless, a cracking game. 17 points apiece. Shane Dowling point earned a share of the spoils as Limerick and Cork finished it up. But a cracking encounter in Porky Ring.
Well, just a question, or just to mention the cameras, I suppose each TV company that covers the games actually does have a slightly different style of covering them as well. So sometimes that takes a bit of getting used to, particularly early in the season. But overall, all the broadcasters do their ultimate best. But going back to Cork and Limerick, this was a cracking encounter. I was glued to this one watching it on Saturday evening. And, you know, what a comeback by Limerick. I really thought, you know, after 12 and a half minutes, when Cork were 8-2 ahead, all of the scores coming from play, that this was the Rebels going to fire on all cylinders. But I suppose we saw from Limerick last year, their strength is their comeback qualities. Well, one of their strengths. And really, you know, this was quite interesting, I suppose, particularly when Graeme Mulcahy was sent off so early on and the Shannonsiders were with 14 men for the guts of half the game or more, in fact. Really, you know, there was nothing but a draw, I suppose, was the fairest result, given Limerick's comeback, given the way that they worked very hard in the last couple of minutes. But, you know, thankful, I suppose, that a little bit extra of additional time was added on at the end, because Limerick mightn't have had the chance to get that equaliser otherwise. But, you know, full credit to what's been done in Limerick at the moment. Again, a new management, but certainly they seem to be getting things right. And Shane Dowling, you know, 8 points from frees, 2 65s, 1 from play. And I was mentioning, I know I keep coming back to this, but free takers, you know, it's it just seems to be one guy in hurling that seems to be getting the scores from frees. But in Cork's case, just 3 points out of that 17 points tally came from frees. Pat Horgan with 7 points, three of those from frees, as I said. Everyone else that scored got scores from play, and great spread of scores on both sides as well. I reckon that Limerick could be a slight bit of a dark horse, but what's going to happen in this division now is that Cork and Limerick are going to be fighting for scoring difference. Because of the likes of Laois winning as well, it's Cork's result against Limerick, the draw on Saturday night, really opened things up. And then Laois winning on Sunday, that even opened it up further again. And now Cork head to Port Laois on Saturday night to face Laois. That game's live on Setanta. And, you know, some people would have said, why would you show Laois and Setanta? Well, now we know why, because Laois are going to put it up to him. And this is going to be quite interesting. I don't think, at least I'd hope, that there's going to be no repeat of the result a few seasons ago in the Championship, where Cork whitewashed Laois and Port Laois in the Championship. I think Laois should be well primed for this, but unfortunately, Cork coming with just one league point, you'd imagine that the Rebels are going to edge this one, and they're going to have more fire in their belly, because they'll know that they left behind what could prove to be a valuable lead point in Parky Ring last Saturday night.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff, even in Division 1B, really is indeed. Colleen, you seem to be always the perfect guest to have on the show, there's no doubt about that. You've covered interprovincial clashes, Cadbury's 21s, you've got the colleges in there. Going back to the interprovincial championships in the football, I know Connacht and Ulster are going to meet now in the final after wins over Munster and Leinster. Anything to write home about? I know a lot of these matches seem to go under the radar, but some of them tend to be good high-scoring games, and, you know, I'd say they're worth a watch.
If you can get a copy of the DVD of the Ulster-Leinster game that I was at in Park Talton on Sunday, you'll go, that's going to stand up even in September as one of the games of the year. It was an absolute cracker. I mean, it's one of these games where you know it's brilliant to watch and then there's extra time. It's a headache for journalists. It felt like a hurling game. The scores were coming thick and fast. The play was end-to-end. I know I'm a passionate supporter of this competition anyhow, but regardless of any biases, this certainly proved that it's well worth keeping. I mean, every player that I've talked to about the game, and I was talking to a few Connacht guys and Munster as well about their game, you know, there's no doubt that the players wanted. There was something like 279 spectators, I think, in Navan, less, maybe 100 or so in Tuam Stadium, but those 400 odd people got full value for money. And, you know, I mean, a few years back, the finals were broadcast live on RT television. The games were live in Croke Park. It was a great two games. Likewise, the football a few years ago, Parnell Park. I seem to be drifting towards these games the whole time. I've probably seen more of them than most in the last decade or so. And the standard hasn't wilted. If anything, it's got better. It's just unfortunate that the crowds haven't come. But when an effort is put in terms of promotion, you do get a couple of thousand people at these games. Unfortunately, there was zero marketing pretty much done. The very, very little done before the semi-finals in both the hurling and the football this year. I'd hope that this coming week there's going to be something that will give a bit of drive to this competition, because Martin Donnelly, he sponsors a lot of competitions, a lot of teams. He's a website, myclubshop.ie now, and they sponsor the Meath Hurlers at the moment, and they're going from strength to strength. He sponsors the All-Ireland Puck Fada. He sponsors competitions that are worthwhile, that maybe don't get the profile, but they deserve the funds. And, you know, he was in Navan on Sunday and very, very happy with the standard of what was on show. It's not all about the crowd sometimes, I think. Some people, you know, are very quick to point to that every time the competition gets mentioned. But, you know, in reality, what I would say is the players deserve more support than they're getting in terms of crowd. But the other thing I actually would have to say on Sunday, one of the standout things for me, not necessarily the game itself, even though the game was great, but in the second half of normal time and in extra time, the crowd really lifted. You would have sworn that there was far more than 270-odd people in Park Talton in Navan. Excellent displays. You know, you've the likes of Michael Murphy, Michael Darren McCauley, Owen O'Gara, Owen O'Flaherty outstanding, Paul Gribben got one.
All the
more.
Top guys on show, yeah.
It's amazing. And the other thing I would say is, if they promoted it for kids, I mean, we often see every time Galway are playing Portumna, every time Joe Canning plays, the kids flock at the end of the games for the autographs and Joe will stay there for hours. And there are loads of players like that. It's the ideal opportunity. If you have a child or you're a teenager or whatever it may be, if you want to see your heroes and you want to be that close to the action, and get all the top guys in the one place pretty much, these are the games to go to see. One thing I would have to mention when I'm mentioning teenagers there, and I've actually two things on this. One guy who is one of the heroes of the weekend, 16-year-old Connor Small for Craigan Kickhams from Antrim. Pretty much a football club, it's fair to say, but they're the All-Ireland Junior Hurling Champions at the moment after beating Ballysaggart from Waterford after a replay at Cusick Park in Mullingar, 111-107, and Connor Small scored one goal and 6 points, I think it was, in the game. Cracking game. I was at the drawn encounter in Croke Park, end-to-end stuff. Conor McCann, who's played under 21 hurling for Antrim in the last couple of years, outstanding. He had a great game on Sundays, or on Saturday. Forgetting what days, there were so many games at the weekend. But, you know, players like that deserve great recognition too as well. And I suppose I'll finish up by mentioning a team of totally non-Irish players who are playing their first Gaelic football match this week in Pier Stadium in Galway on Tuesday. Their teacher, Brendan Doherty, a Sligo native, he's brought them over. He's been training them in the last couple of months and they're playing their first ever game of Gaelic football. They've all got Asian, African backgrounds and it's brilliant to see. And this is another thing with the GAA. They're over this week. They were in Croke Park for stadium tour on Monday. They've done a 1916 walking tour around the capital and they're getting a coaching session in the Connacht Centre of Excellence in Ballyhaunis on Wednesday. There aren't too many GAA players who can say, even in Galway, that they've played in Pier Stadium, and these guys are going to get to play their first ever game of Gaelic football in Pier Stadium on Tuesday as well. Absolutely outstanding. And I think I've brought things 360 degrees there.
Oh, you've really bamboozled us, Colleen. A fantastic mix of GAA, really is. And that's a fantastic story there at the end. Really terrific to see, as of course, the GAA with social media and the way the world is going, the marketing side of things is huge and spreading the GAA across the world. Of course, Reuters journalist Philip O'Connor often joins us to tell us about the Champions League of Gaelic football across Europe, so it's fantastic. We'll be having much more of that throughout the season. Colleen, thanks a million for joining us on the programme. We wish you the very best of luck in getting to all the games across the next few weeks, and we look forward to hearing all about it again. Thank you.
And just a quick mention before we go, the Irish Daily Mail Sigerson Cup, Trench Cup, and all of those third level competitions culminating this weekend as well. There's going to be some cracking games there. RTV are broadcasting four games live, the Trench Cup semi-finals and the Sigerson Cup semi-finals live for the first time ever on Friday. And of course, TG Carr, as usual, have the Sigerson Cup final live on Saturday. So while hurling may be to the fore next weekend, there's plenty of football action on offer at a top level as well.
Well, how about that? Colleen Duffy there, an unstoppable force, it's probably fair to say. And Roy Malone, passionate words from a passionate man, a great Offaly man there. I thank them both for being on Talking GAA this week. We'll do it all again very, very soon. Remember, you can email dave@talkingsport.org. That's dave@talkingsport.org. We're on Twitter and Facebook. You can't miss us. Chat to you soon.